Yud Zayin Teves, Tuesday the 14th of January, Reb Dov Kaufman, Neginos and Details Within Shemos.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. You've heard me before. You know that my method is to look at the details in the Chumash, including the Neginos, and to thereby come to a clearer appreciation of what is a pshat. And I'll focus, of course, on the Seder Shemois, but I would like to go back, take your liberty to go back for one point in Vayechistel. After all, it's only Tuesday, and on Tuesday you still have to think of last Shabbos. So let me go back on one point where I worked on something and came to a very chiddushed type of conclusion. I wrote it down and showed it to a lot of people, and everybody agreed with me. The only one who didn't agree with me was myself. So let me tell you about it, at least. Now, it's very well known. After Sheni, in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov proposes to give a brocha to Yosef and his children. And Yosef presented his children to his father. He put Manasseh on the right, you know that. And then the pasuk says, Vayishrach Yisroel Esimino. He stretched out his hand. Vayoshes Arosh Ephraim. And he put his hand onto the head of Ephraim, who had so, and even though he's the younger son. Vesemoyla Arosh Manasseh, he put his left hand on Manasseh. Sikra Esabiyotov, he was cleverly maneuvered his hands for whatever reason. Kimashah Bechor, because Manasseh is the Bechor. Vayvodachas Yosef, and he gave Yosef a brocha, and he said, it's well known, Amar Chagol Oisim Nikol Ro. That takes us up to Shulishi. That's right. No, but Yosef, Vayvodachas Yosef, Vayoyman. Yeah. And then he said, Amaloch. Then after Shulishi, it says, Vayar Yosef. Now watch this carefully. Yosef saw, Hiyoshis Oviv Yad Yiminoi. Now this word is crucial. Yoshis is what? A future tense verb. He will put his hand. Well, and he made a protest about it. Well, surely Manasseh is the oldest son. He should take the right hand. Why have you moved your hands across? So he made a little protest or an inquiry of his father. But just a minute, it's too late. He's given the brocha. So the Malach HaGoyim gave the brocha after the event. And second of all, how does it work? Yoshis means he will. But he's done it already. Pasuk said previously said by Yoshis, and he put the hands across. So now you're saying that he will? How can this be? And if you'd like another question to throw in as well, read the end of the pasuk. It says, by Yisroch Yadov, he supported his father's hands, lo hosir oiso, to move it across. It's feminine, because when limbs of the body which come in pairs, hands, feet, eyes, and ears, etc., are always feminine. That's why it's oiso. It's only one, it's singular feminine. But when they come, those which come in pairs are feminine. Me'al Rosh Ephraim, Al Rosh Manasseh. Me'al Rosh Ephraim is three words. Al Rosh Manasseh is again three words. But they're not equal. Because Me'al is an independent word with its own negina, and Rosh Ephraim is hyphenated. Whereas Al Rosh, two words, hyphenated, but the Manasseh is an independent word. So in one case, Ma'al is independent word of the Negina. The second time, it's not got a Negina. What's the difference in meaning? Obviously, the answer is that when it's an independent word, it has a greater emphasis. It means something more. But why? So I want to suggest the meaning is this, which everything fits in. That we have to, in this case, say a great chiddush. We'll read the pasuk again. Vayishach Yisroel es yiminoi. Stop. He stretched out his hand. That's the beginning of the story. The pasuk carries on. Vayoshes Arosh Ephraim is the end of the story. And in between comes the rest of the story. So we have a resha and a sefer, and in between the story. That's how you have to read the Chumash. Chiddush, I agree, but this fits in. So what happened was, Vayishach Yisroel es yiminoi, he stretched out his hand. Then the pasuk tells us the rest of the story. Vayvodachas Yosef, he benched Yosef, and he said, Amar HaGoyel. That's what happened. Then you go to Vayar Yosef. Yosef says, oh, one minute. Kiyoshis, Future tense. What does future tense mean? He saw the hand was moving towards Ephraim. Towards Ephraim.
Can be also hoive.
Pardon?
Yoshis can be hoive.
Can be hoive. As I state in Tavius and Menozeo.
What?
That Yoshis is hoive. Oh. But when it's hoive, I don't know which way to take it.
He saw that the hand is on his head.
Was? That's past tense.
He's on his head.
Is on his head?
Yes.
It's more better to, if you want to say hoive, you're better off saying it is going towards his head. That'd be more. Pardon?
Vayoshes.
Before. But that's what I'm saying. That Vayoshes comes later. You make a stop in between.
Vayoshes
is past tense. Vayoshes is past tense. Yoshes is future tense, yeah?
Isn't Shos the hoive?
Shos is past tense.
See, Shos
is past.
Shos is past tense.
Past.
Yeah.
What's the hoive?
Chase, if we have something like that. If we have such a word.
I think it's past.
So I want to suggest to you that Yaakov stretched out his hand. Yishach Yaakov is Yodoi. Right. Yosef intervened and said, hold on a minute. He saw Kiyoshis is going to move his hand towards Ephraim. And he said, Vayera Ba'elov, and this was unacceptable in his eyes. He didn't like it. Vayismoich means to support, doesn't it? Vayismoich means to support. So he put his hand underneath his father's hand, which was coming down onto Ephraim. It fits him with Vayismoich. That's what he did. Lohosiloisar, the Rashbam says, Lohos has got two meanings. Lohos means to move onto, and coming to move from. It's got both meanings. Therefore, Lohosiloisar, to remove the hand, Me'al, and Me'al means, with a mem, to prevent it from reaching Reish Ephraim. And since Me'al doesn't just mean on, it means to prevent it from, it's got a whole phrase, that's why Me'al has got the Negina, it's its own word. Al Reish Ephraim, Al Reish Menashe, just onto the head of Menashe, he wanted to put it on top. So that all fits in very nicely, and then you go back, and you're on the Brocha, you get the Brocha of Yivorechach Hashem Yishmoleh, sorry, of Bechor Yivorech Yisrael Leimor. And then you go back to the beginning again, and you read the other half of the pasuk, which we started with, which was, Alpha Yishach Yisrael Zimeloi, we read all this, then you go back and read, and he put his hand on Ephraim. You have to split up the pasuk and put all the rest in between. A great chiddush. But how else do you learn it? Everybody seemed to agree with me, except for one. I didn't agree. At the end, I didn't agree. Why? Because
Me'al is also not Me'al is on top.
Me'al means from hovering above. Me'al means on top. Me'al from being on top of.
That's okay.
But the point is this, that the Targum Onkelos says one word, which demolishes all this. On the word Kiyoshis, the Targum Onkelos says Shavi, which is past tense. So he's changed everything. So according to the Targum Onkelos, you read the story like this. Everything goes in order. That Yosef put his hand on Ephraim's right hand on Ephraim. Then he gave a brach of Amalach. Yosef didn't object to that yet. After that he objected. Kiyoshis is past tense. Why is it past tense? Because it means, as the Targum would see, he would put his hand. Yosef saw Kiyoshis and he would do such a thing. He would do such a thing? It means he did it, but he was baffled that he would do such a thing. So it's not impossible for Targum to read past tense. And then you read the story all Kaseda. And what's more, Rashi even says so as well, I realized. Because when it says Vayismoich, and I translated as meaning he supported, he put his hands underneath the hand which was landing, that's how I want to explain it, Rashi says no. Rashi says Herimo, he lifted the hand. So possibly my idea doesn't hold. Okay. Just thought I'll tell you this. Now let me go to Pasha Shemois. Pasha Shemois. Ve'el Shemois b'nei Yisrael ha'boi mitzroimo. Eis Yaakov, ishu ve'isoi bo. Reuven, Shimoi, Levi, Yehuda. There's four names there, and that's one posuk. Next, Yisocha, Zevulun, Levin, Yomin. Three more names, another posuk. Don, Vanaftali, God, Voshe. Another posuk, four names. So there's 11 in total. And the fourth, the last one, comes later on. That's number 12. Comes later. Let's put aside later on. There's a number of questions to be asked here. Why do we have four names of the sons of Leah in one posuk, and then a second posuk with three names in it, consisting Yisachar Zvulun of Leah, Uvinyamin and Binyamin from Rachel. When we learn Parshas Vayigash, where the names of the Shvatim are listed, they're listed and the four categories, each mother and her children. So why don't we have the same over here? That's one question. Another question to focus on is that here it says Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Vihuda, there's a Vav there. Next, Yisachar Zvulun, Uvinyamin, at the end of the pasuk, a Vav. Fair enough. Don, Vnaftali. Now why is there a Vav there? Not the end of the pasuk. Why should there be a Vav there? Pardon?
They come from the same mother.
Yes. But why? The Vav, yes. Yeah. Okay, that's one explanation, yes. I'll tell you in a moment. And yeah. Oh, let me find this passage. Yeah. I'd like to answer this with a medrash from Parshas Vayetze. There's a story in Vayetze that, let me just turn to it. Vayelach Reuven, the maker Tzirchitim. Reuven went and found dudoim, whatever that is, some vegetable, and he presented it to his mother. But Rachel wanted it. And they did a deal. Yes, they said, Rachel said, in that case, granted, Yaakov is yours. You give me the dudoim, but I agree that you take Yaakov for company. That's a story. Now the Medrash makes a very critical comment on that, and says, now I'll read you the Medrash. I haven't got it here. So the Medrash says on this posuk that Leah gave up, Rachel gave up the Yaakov, but she gained the Dodoim. She gained the Dodoim, lost Yaakov, and lost her fair share of children. It was originally set, says the Medrash, that Rachel and Leah would each have four children, whereas the Shavuchos would have two more each to make up the 12. But because of this Dodoim, because she gave up the company of Yaakov, the privilege of having Yaakov for company, therefore she lost two children, and they went over to Leah. That's what the Medrash says. A very sharp criticism of Rachel. On that basis, we can understand this parsha as well. This parsha is telling us of the original setting of the Shvatim, how it would have been. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Vihuda are four names. They would have been Leah's children, and that's all they would have been. And therefore, at the end of the Pasuk, it says, Vav Vihuda, not because it's the end of the Pasuk, because this is the end of the set. A Vav comes when the set comes to an end, not the Pasuk ends. And this is the end of the set. The end of the set of children that would have been originally that of Leah. The next pasuk, three names. Yisachar, Zvulun, Uvinyamin. The Zvulun doesn't have a Vav. Binyamin has got a Vav. Why? This would have been the set of Rachel's children. Would have been. Then, Don, Venaftali. Why Vav? Because this is the end of a set of Bilhah. And God, V'osher, the end of the set of Zilpah. That's the way it works. Now, this would also explain something else, that when you go to Parshas Vayishlach, which is the first time that the names of the Shvatim are mentioned, all 12, over there, it says, each one, Yaakov, Vayuvene Yaakov Shnei Mosa, Vene Leah, it mentioned Reuven, Vishimon, Velevi, Vihudo, Visacha, Vizavulon, and etc. Each one has got a Vav, each and every one. Because there we're trying to point out the individuality of every Shevet. But here, it seems, we're looking at creating sets. A set of what would have been, if not for the Dodoim. That's my suggestion to you. Of course, that raises the question, but why or why? Why here, of all places, should we do this? And what's the point of doing it altogether? I haven't got a good answer for that, but I'm going to suggest to you, because here, the 12th name, Binyamin, Yosef, is anywhere mentioned separately. I'll come back to that later. Anyway, separate. Since it's anyway separate, so if you're going to put it under each mother, you're going to have one name under Rochel, Binyamin. You can't have a pasuk with just one name in it. And the pasuk can contain only names and nothing but names. So what, you have a pasuk of one word with Binyamin in it? We can't do that. Since you can't do that anyway, so here's an opportunity to put Binyamin together with Yisachon's Zvulun, which would be the original set of what it would have been. Here it could do. Here you can do other places, you can't do it. But why is Yosef separate? That's another question. It actually says, let's read the pasuk. Vahi, kol nefesh, all the souls, yoytzei yerach Yaakov, the descendants of Yaakov, shivim nefesh, 70 of them. V'yosef hayov v'mitzrayim. Yosef was in Mitzrayim. I want to ask another question. V'eila shmois b'nei Yisrael boi Mitzrayimo. Es Yaakov, they came with Yaakov. These are the family who came with Yaakov. There's a stark question here. The Legina is written in the wrong place. You expect the Snachta to be here. V'eila shmois b'nei Yisrael boi Mitzrayimo. Es Yaakov came with Yaakov to Mitzrayim. Yishuv Esibo comes after that. But it's not. It's written, V'eila shmois b'nei Yisrael boi Mitzrayimo. Haboi Mitzrayimo. Then Es Yaakov, Yishuv Esibo. Why is Es Yaakov written after the Snachta? It's punctuated wrong, isn't it? It's not. Because the pasuk is not telling you that it came with Yaakov. It's something else. It's not just saying who accompanied Yaakov on the journey. It's Es Yaakov means who came with Yaakov in mindset. Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim with a very clear mind. I'm not intending to settle there. I'm only intending to stay for a while. I have all this spirituality of Eretz Yisrael in my mind, and I intend to go back again. That was Yaakov's wind of thoughts. And these are the ones who came to Mitzrayim. Es Yaakov with the same mindset of Yaakov. We're going to live in Mitzrayim for as long as we need to live here. We're not intending to get swing along with the culture of Mitzrayim. We're not going to get sunken into their lifestyle. We're independent. We have our own standards. That's what it means. These people came to Mitzrayim. Es Yaakov, with Yaakov, with the same mindset and standards as Yaakov. Every single man who came with Yaakov came with this mindset of Es Yaakov. That's what the pasuk means. Therefore, the snapter is quite in place. And now we understand Rashi as well. Rashi says, "V'yosef hoyu v'mitzroyim." So Rashi asks a question: "V'aloi who of one of hoyu b'chal shivim?" Why do you mention at the end? You say Yosef shivim nofesh. V'yosef hoyu v'mitzroyim, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Well, yes, Yosef was in Mitzrayim, but he's one of the 70. As counted in Vayigash. This pasuk is telling you about the righteousness of Yosef. Who Yosef, who Royes, son Oviv, who Yosef, Shoy, Bemitzrayim, Venasa Melech, Vome Bitzitkosse. And he was unflinched, he didn't change. Yosef was Yosef all the way along. How is it telling you the Tzitkos of Yaakov? Which way of Yosef? In which way is it saying, telling you anything about Yosef at all? What is it telling you about Yosef? And how is it telling it to you? The answer is Es Yaakov. They all came, Es Yaakov with Yaakov. And Rashi says in Vayigash that Nefesh, when we talk about Shivim Nefesh, they're not called Nefoshois, as Esau's children are called Nefoshois, children of Yaakov are called Nefesh, because Oyvel El Echad, they all have one singular God, not multiple. They're focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here in the pasuk says two things. Vayhi, Kol Nefesh, Yotze Yerach Yaakov, Shivim Nefesh. Why is the word Nefesh twice? Why twice? Because it's saying two things. When you have Nefesh with a number, it's telling you of the multiple number who are singular in mind. That's what Rashi says in Vayigash. So you read the pasuk again. Vayhi kol Nefesh. Every person who came, Yotze Yerach Yaakov, those who were descendants of Yaakov, Shivim, 70 of them, Nefesh, were one soul in spirituality. Vayosef Oyev Mitzrayim, Yotze was amongst them. And even though he was in Mitzrayim, he was at the same spiritual standards of the same who came down with Yaakov from Eretz Yisrael. Telling you, Tzikos Shel Yosef. That's why this pasuk is Tzikos Shel Yosef. And that's why Yosef is separate. To bring this out. Okay, that's one point. I'd like to turn to another issue in the Sedra. In Shemois, we have the episode of Moshe at the Sinai. Yes, Moshe comes, he sees a burning bush. Vayomer Moshe, Asura no ve'ere. Let me turn aside and have a look what's going on there. Let me see ve'ere. I said, Mara Hagodah, this terrific sight. Madu ani ve'asne. Why is it not burning up the bush? Vayar Hashem, he saw liros. Hashem saw that he turned aside to look. Now, these words I've just read, Vayar Hashem, he saw liros, are highly exceptional words within the Torah. Because you've got here, Vayar Hashem, mechatipcho, and then you've got ki sor lirois, munach esnachto. Now, nearly every posuk, majority of psukim in the Torah have munach esnachto, others have melcho esnachto, or sorry, tipcho esnachto, rather. That's what made up, about 60% or something, more than half are munach esnachto. But munach esnachto you don't find. What's the effect of munach esnachto? Ki sor lirois, if you read it, ki sor lirois. Because of repetition, you have to slow down. Why do you slow down here? Because of the rule, a watch pot never boils. So Moshe was looking at the bush. It should burn. Wasn't burning. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a few minutes. Wait half a minute. Should burn. No. Another half a minute. A bit more. When you're counting time goes very slowly. And to convey this message, you've got this very rare negina. Munach esnachto. Where else do you find it? Only in two places. Two more places. It's in Parshas Boy, when we talk of Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, and they're carrying dough on their shoulders. They're walking in the sun, the rising sun. You'd expect the dough to rise, and it didn't. So the Pasuk says, Vayofu Sabotek, they baked the dough, which they got to Ramses, Ugois Matzois, Ki loy chometz. Again, the same idea. Dough hasn't risen, that's surprising. But look at it again in a minute's time. It had risen by then. No, another minute, still not. Looking at it. Strange. Time passes very slow. Waiting for something to happen, it didn't happen. And the third one is in Parshas Bolok, where Bolok sends for Bilam to come to him, and is extremely anxious to have him arrive. By Yishma Bolok, and Bolok heard, ki vo Bilam. He was waiting anxiously, time and slowly. That's the rule, that's the Masoda we have. In three places in the Torah, you've got these unique neginas. What's the problem? The problem is that in one place, there might be another one. There might be a fourth one. Might be. There's a machlokes about it. Back in Shemois, the story before the snare, Moshe grows up. Vayigdal Moshe, he goes out amongst the people. Vayar v'sivilo, so he sees their troubles. Vayar ish mitzri, mak ish ivri, me'achov. A mitzri is beating up a poor Jew. Vayifen koi v'choi, vayar, he looked around. Ki einish, so basically, what does the positive mean? Look around, there's nobody there, fine, I can go ahead and do what I need to do. That's what it means. Rashi doesn't say that. Says Rashi, ki ein ish, no descendants. Let's read the Rashi, we see the words. She ein ish osid lot seis mimenu, she yiska. There'll never be a Jewish person emanating from his descendants. Therefore, safe to get rid of him. Now, fine, Rashi's telling us a medrash, but this is not Pshat the Pasuk, is it? It's not the only meaning of the Pasuk. It's not standard to read the Pasuk like this. And there are two versions of this Pasuk. Some read, Vayar ki ein ish. And others read, ki ein ish. They put the munach in. Some do, some don't. The regular Chumash, the Mikros Gedolus, which is the Masoda we tend to keep, at least I was always taught, stick to Mikros Gedolus. That's the Masoda which comes down through the Rambam, through Minchas Shai, the Rav Haigon. It goes back, we don't even know how far, but that's the stat. But the Rambam used Mikros Gedolus. That's what you keep to. And Mikros Gedolus reads, ki ein ish. That's how Mikros Gedolus reads it. But there are those who read, ki ein ish. Rodelheim, for example, has it that way. That's Chumash as well, okay. Well, all right. Right. What could be the meaning of this? Why is there a machlokas here? In Hatzav HaKaboro, he has a different meaning of the explanation of the Pasuk. What does Vayar mean, he saw? Ge'enish. Moshe Rabbeinu saw a Mitzri beating up a Jew. And this was in front of all the Yidden there, where he was walking to visit. And that surely, 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 they're going to need to read, aren't they? Won't they come and take up the side? Lo yisam adam re'eyu? Surely, you're going to intervene and stop this. Come to the side to save the life of this Yid who's being beaten up. Come on, do something. He looked. No, nobody moved. Wait a minute. Nobody moved. Another minute. Nobody moved. He was waiting. Very anxious. Why didn't they move? Because, as Ibn Ezra explains, there'd been so many years of slavitude that the minds were already so conditioned that you can't intervene. That's why they didn't. And that's what shocked Moshe Rabbeinu. When he saw, looked and saw and looked and saw and looked and saw and nobody did anything, that's something wrong here. We have to do something about this situation. And this is much closer to the meaning of the Pasuk than is what Rashi said. Rashi means a medrash. But this is only pshat. This is only pshat. But it's not what we generally learn. We learn Rashi. Now this fits in very nicely. If you read this pshat, he looked and waited for someone to do and nothing happened. And he was waiting, and waiting and waiting. And you know why it says, Vaya, ki, ish. Waiting and waiting, waiting. No man coming. That's why he was waiting. That's why they have this version. It's interesting to note that Mikros Gedolos does not have this version. And we, as a general rule, keep the Mikros Gedolos. And we always learn Rashi. Our tradition is all the generations since Rashi. Rashi is above all. Rashi is not always Pshat, mind you. That doesn't matter. So why do we learn Rashi? Because Rashi is Rashi. So our tradition of learning Rashi and our tradition of keeping the Mikros Gedolos comes together over here. There is another Pshat to be said, but these two come together very nicely in this case. Right, I don't have any... Very much more. I'll stop here. I can't stop you please now.